Today on Brave, a message from Jeff Swarzentraub.
God calls us to love people that are unlovable, and God calls us to love people that are sinning in ways that we're uncomfortable with, and God calls us to love people that vote differently than us and act differently than us and see marriage differently than us and see gender different than us. And they can be totally wrong in the way that they see it and yet still experience our love and compassion. Because we love Jesus and we love the gospel, which tells us this: the standard's the same, but his love for people remains.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Sometimes taking the wrong road simply results in a longer trip. But unfortunately, there are some paths that not only take us away from our destination, but actually lead to destruction or death. And today on Brave, Pastor Jeff explains how taking the wrong detours in life can lead us to spiritual destruction. He's revealing a few key warnings we receive from the book of Hebrews, guiding us away from the dangerous temptations and traps that are all too common in our world today. It's the next lesson in our ongoing series, The Greatest. And if there's any part of this study you might have missed out on so far, the place to go for all Brave content is bravemedia.online. Now, let's join Pastor Jeff as he continues with the next part of a message titled, Beware.
Warning signs are important for us to pay attention to because they're for our own good. And here in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to see the fourth warning sign in this book. And it's important for us today, wherever we are, that we pay attention and we heed attention to the warning. So I'd like you to open up your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 26. And as you turn there, we're going to read through this together, and then we'll unpack four ways that we're called to beware. And here in this text, a very sobering warning passage for us. Signs that we must beware of. Signs that we must pay attention to. And it's important that we do. And throughout the Bible, there are warning passages. And I just want to start in our introduction just by talking to you about what groups of people need to hear warning passages from God's word. And there are really three groups of people. Warning passages encourage the believer to persevere. They're more or less guardrails. They help us stay the course. They tell us, don't look to the right or to the left. Secondly, a warning passage does this. It invites the non-believer to trust Christ. Warning passages are there to say, if you hear the Lord's voice today, don't harden your heart. Come to Christ. And number three, it does this. It sentences the apostate with judgment. An apostate is one who willfully and publicly says, I want nothing to do with Jesus. I want nothing to do with God. I'm done. They know the truth and they publicly reject it. That's an apostate. That's what we're talking about here. So there's this message here that tells us four things to beware of, four warnings to beware of. And the first is this, as we get into the text, beware, conscious, willful, intentional sinning has a consequence. When he's talking about sin here, he's talking about conscious, willful, intentional sinning. Friends, there's a consequence to that. After you know that Jesus Christ is Lord, after you know that he's substituted himself for you, after you know that he's made a way through his shed blood on the cross and that he's rose from the dead, after you know all that truth, and then you say, I reject it all. I want nothing to do with that. Here's what happens. He says, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. The Bible makes clear that no one is saved apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, which should give us a passion for getting out and sharing the gospel for mission. It should. I mean, it should break our heart that there are people in the world that haven't had a chance to respond to the love and grace of God, and they're still accountable because Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that's still the message by which all people are saved. But this is talking about what's even more tragic. This is talking about a group of people, they've heard the message. They have had every opportunity to be saved. They've had every opportunity to come to Christ. Maybe they've come close, maybe they haven't, but at some point in time, aware of all the truth, they've said, I reject the truth. For that person, that group of people, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but only terrifying judgment that will come. It's sobering. It should sober your heart. Heaven and hell are real places. If you could see with spiritual eyes everything that's going on in heaven, and you could see with spiritual eyes everything that's going on in hell, it would change the trajectory of how you worship, and it would change the trajectory of how you evangelize. Because they're real places where real people go every single day. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And no matter where you go, and no matter what group of people you talk to, no matter what nationality or gender or height or weight, you can proclaim the living message of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's true for all people. Regardless of age or background or sin level or anything, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But beware, beware. Conscious, willful, habitual, over and over, I'll do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, does not enter the kingdom of God. That's what he's talking about. So the warning here is for those who have come close to Jesus but aren't in Christ. Please don't say, well, if Jesus was alive today and I was around him, then I would think different. No, you wouldn't. You've been given every opportunity to hear the gospel. And I hear people ask this question all the time. What about that migrant farmer in Africa or that kid in middle of Asia in a slum? He never heard the gospel. Still accountable. That's why we got to get the gospel out. That's tragic. But you know what's more tragic? It's to sit in a church like Brave for month after month, week after week, year after year to know the truth and then say, I want nothing to do with it. That's way worse. The question is, what are you doing with Jesus? Have you welcomed him in to be the Lord of your life? See, the gospel is not just cognitively knowing, yeah, I guess there was a guy named Jesus that died on the cross, and I guess I'll pray some prayer if he'll accept me, and I guess that's okay. And now I'm gonna go live my life any way I want. The gospel is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that so whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. If you believe Jesus died for your sin and you're willing to turn from your sin and turn to Christ and come to Christ, you can be saved, and you can be saved to the full for all time. And his Holy Spirit will come in and dwell you. That's the good news. So it's a warning passage. It's encouraging you who are believers today. Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. I want to stay on that path. It's telling some of you who are here who are kind of wavering, I don't know if today's the day. Hey, today's your day. And it might be telling some of you that are at a place where you're like, I don't know that I'm going to believe in Christ anymore. Hold on, you don't want to do that. That's the worst thing you could ever do. Beware. Conscious, willful, intentional sinning has a consequence. Number two is this. Beware. God is unmerciful to apostates. He's unmerciful to apostates. Now, we love to talk about the mercy of God, don't we? We're saved by his mercy. Lamentations 3 says, his mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It says his mercy and loving kindness chase us down every day in Psalm 23. We love his mercy. He's totally merciful. He gives us what we don't deserve. He doesn't give us what we do deserve. He's so merciful. Not to the apostate. Not to the one who has been given enough light to trust him and then rejects him. Notice what the word says. Notice what he says. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and he has insulted the Spirit of grace? Now, you may not be familiar with the law of Moses, but when people broke the law of Moses, God's law, they died. They were killed. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 17, starting in verse 2, if you want to turn there. I'll just read a few verses. This is God's law for Old Testament believers. Now, he's talking to a group of New Testament Jews who have come to Christ, and he's referring them back. He says, remember how severe it was under the old covenant when we sinned against God? How much more severe do you think this is going to be? This is old covenant. This is Old Testament. If there is found in your midst any in any of your towns, which the Lord your God has given you, a man or woman who does what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God by transgressing his covenant and has gone and served other gods and worshiped them or the sun or the moon or any of the heavenly hosts, which I have not commanded, and it is told to you and you have heard of it, then you shall inquire thoroughly. Behold, if it is true and the thing certain that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, then you shall bring out that man or that woman who has done this evil deed to your gates, that is, the man or woman, and you shall stone them to death. On the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses, he is to die and shall be put to death. He shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. Old Testament. Here's what happens. You start worshiping something other than the God of the Bible, and it's found out by a couple people, they bring you out to the city gates and they establish it thoroughly. Yeah, he's worshiping the moon rather than worshiping the God that created the moon. He's worshiping the sun rather than worshiping the God that created the sun. Hey, he's taking them to worship other gods and false gods other than you. And it's established by two or three witnesses. You stone them right there. Why? Because God takes his worship so seriously. Isaiah 42 verse 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not share my glory with another or give my praise to idols. We think of worship as an activity that we do for a few minutes on a Sunday. Like, yeah, you know, I'll come in and as soon as the band gets done, maybe the preacher will be up and do something. I mean, that's okay. God wants us to worship him through singing. He wants us to worship him through our praise. He wants to worship him through our lifestyle. He wants to get all the other honor and he doesn't want to share that with anyone else. He wants to get all of our gratitude. He wants to get all of our thanks. You say, well, that was the Old Testament God. That one was mean. He put people to death. New Testament God, he's not like that. Friends, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. And the author is saying, if you thought that was serious, how much more severe will it be when under the new covenant, here's what you've done. You've trampled the Son of God underfoot. That means this. After proclaiming or professing Jesus, you now reject Jesus as Lord and want nothing to do with him. It's like you've walked over his face. If God put people to death for worshiping the moon, how much more trampling Jesus' face are you going to be held accountable? How much more? I mean, that's what he's saying. Then he goes on to say this, or regarding as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. Now, if you were here a couple weeks ago, I talked about the blood. I think I mentioned the word blood in my sermon over 100 times. We just kept talking about the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's the blood of Jesus that sets us free. When a person knows that that's true and then says, yeah, but I don't think it's that. I think the blood of Jesus is unworthy. I think the blood of Jesus is unnecessary. The blood of Jesus is stupid. I mean, you really believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father? I think you're stupid. When people do that, how much more severe do you think their punishment is going to be? Friends, I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is the only way, and his blood is the only way to the Father. And when it's referring to the sacrifice of him, notice what it says here in the text. It says, as regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. I think that he is talking to Jesus, because in John 17 and verse 19, when Jesus was praying his high priestly prayer on the night he was betrayed, he says, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves may be sanctified in the truth. That this sanctification is talking about what Jesus did to set himself apart so that we could be sanctified. And when they trample that underfoot, they're doing this third thing. They're insulting the Spirit of grace. The very Holy Spirit that convicted them of their sin and provided direction to Jesus and showed them the way, they rejected that. That's an apostate. There's no mercy for apostates. There's none. There's just terrifying expectation of judgment that is to come. Notice what the text says in verse 30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a terrifying thing. Now, I don't know if you've ever sat around and thought about terrifying ways to die. If you do, don't think about that very often. It's not fun. But sometimes you'll see a movie and you'll say, I wouldn't want to go that way. I mean, that'd be terrifying, right? Regardless of what someone could do to you here, that's not what's terrifying. What's terrifying is if you die apart from Christ. That's terrifying. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. He said it this way, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't fear how you're gonna die here. There's some bad ways you could go, but don't worry about that. Don't live in fear about that. But if you don't know Christ, you should be absolutely terrified, because even if you die in a peaceful way, it is gonna be the most terrifying experience you've ever had. If you could see the demeanor on people's faces the moment they die apart from Christ and meet him face to face and hear these words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you, and you see the terror on them, there would be part of you that would raise up and say, I've got to tell my family and friends about Jesus. There's part of you that would raise up and say this, even the people that have treated me poorly, I don't ever want that to happen to them. And here's the truth of the gospel. God takes no delight in the death of the wicked. I don't know who the most wicked person who ever lived was. God does. But even when that person died or will die, God's not up in heaven saying, "See, I got you." It breaks God's heart. For God created all people. God wants a relationship with everybody. Listen to me closely. God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to come forward, but you need to know the sobering truth. If you choose to reject him, there's no mercy for you. Now, at a Bible church like ours, we're going to preach the truth. We're going to hold the standard high. God has standards. God has ways in which he wants us to accelerate to, and God wants us to grow in them, and God wants us to persevere in them, and God wants us to partner with him in that and get closer. But sometimes what happens in a church that teaches a lot of truth, because we know truth, when we see people that aren't aligned with the truth, we begin to have a heart towards them that's not the heart of God towards them. We begin to think, well, they're just sinning like that, and they're just this kind of people, and they deserve whatever they get. No, they don't. You do too. And God in his mercy saved you. And what our heart should be is, yeah, this is the standard, and yes, I won't change the standard because this is what God said is a standard, but I tell you what, I'm going to love them and pray for them until I see them come to Christ. And so God calls us to love people that are unlovable, and God calls us to love people that are sinning in ways that we're uncomfortable with, and God calls us to love people that vote differently than us and act differently than us and see marriage differently than us and see gender different than us. And they can be totally wrong in the way that they see it and yet still experience our love and compassion. Because we love Jesus and we love the gospel, which tells us this, the standard's the same, but his love for people remains. How severe do you think it's going to be for those who know the truth and have walked on Christ's face and say, I no longer want to be a part of this? You say, well, how's that going to happen? Friends, it's happening all the time. Here's what you'll notice about apostates. Apostates sometimes leave evangelicalism and then go to more liberal places to worship. Sometimes they leave evangelical places and they just go away from church altogether. Now, let me be clear on something. Like, where do these apostates come from? The church. Apostates are people that have been raised in the church. Apostates are people that know the truth because they've been in church. You can't be an apostate if you don't know the truth. Apostates are people that have known the truth. They've gone to seminaries. They've taught in seminaries. They've been in the church. They've pastored in churches, but they've never had a personal relationship with Jesus. You say, well, I've never heard of that before. It's all over the place. The longer I live, the more I see it. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19 says it like this. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are not of us. Sobering. I mean, we should pause here for just a second, shouldn't we? We should pause here for you just to ponder people in your family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, maybe those people that God's brought into your life that are just hard for you to even be around, even before they open their mouth, and twice as hard to be around after they open their mouth. Maybe you need to bring those people to mind when we're thinking about this. Believer, we need to be thinking that way. Maybe some of you here today need to recognize, I've never personally trusted Christ. I've been religious. I've been trying. I'm getting a little better as a person, but I don't know that Jesus has ever been the Lord of my life, and today is the day of your salvation. And for some of you, you're being warned today because you know I've gotten kind of close, and I think Jesus is okay, but listen, I'm looking forward to divorcing my spouse here real soon, setting up a different kind of lifestyle, going a different way. This is your last warning. This is God saying, hold on, brother. Hold on, sister, don't do that. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Terrifying. Terrifying. Friends, why do I talk about this? Because heaven and hell are real. And for as long as you're going to live here, it is but a vapor compared to how you're going to spend your eternity. Vapor. You can say, well, I'm going to live my life any way I want here. Vapor. I'm going to live my life for Christ here. It's been real hard. Vapor. Compared to what's coming, this is just not even the opening act. This is like the introduction to the eternal play that's going to play out. This is sobering. We should have on our hearts the standard of God's word and his holiness, and we should also have on our hearts the names of the people that we're praying for that are far from God because God's love for them is so great. Friends, Jesus died on the cross and would have died on the cross if you were the only person that he came to save. But I want to tell you this, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that anybody, anywhere, at any time that would want to come can be saved too. Which means even that person that's super far from, they'll never come to Christ. There's no way they'll become a Christian. That's who he died for too, right? And for some of us, we remember where we were before we were saved and the direction we would have been heading had we not been saved. But some of us, it's so easy to forget that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. That the gift that we have of salvation has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Christ. And when we share the gospel, we're not badgering people with, hey, you're doing bad things. Don't you want to become a good person like me? That's not the gospel. The gospel is, hey, one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I was in need of Christ. I know you're in need of Christ. He sees your brokenness. He sees your hurt. He sees your pride. He sees how you're not in need. He sees all that. He still loves you. There's a way out of your predicament. Come to Christ. God is unmerciful to apostates. Don't ever forget that. He's merciful now. He's merciful now, but most people have this view of Jesus coming back and being, you know, calm, meek and mild, coming back and talking to us and having, you know, collaborative small groups to think about how we feel about the world and politics and all these different, that's not how he's coming back. He came the first time as humble servant, was persecuted, was crucified. Friends, let me tell you, when he comes back, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to reign over the entire planet. Amen? And he is coming back for those who are eagerly waiting for him. For those who are not waiting for him, it's terrifying expectation of what's coming. Worst moment of your life that will begin the worst moments of your eternity. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I mean, this is not a text if I was a guest speaker and say, hey, you can preach from anywhere in the Bible. This is probably not the text I would pick. But Brave Church, I love you so much. I love you enough that I know when I get to heaven, I'm much more concerned about what Jesus is going to say about my faithfulness than how you feel about me. Hey, Jeff, did you tell everybody in the church that I am who I say I am and that I'm merciful to a point, but if they reject me, I'm not merciful? Did you tell them? Yes, I told them. Thank you. You've heard it, which means this, guess what? You're accountable. You're accountable. You run away from this truth, you're still accountable. You get up and leave right now, you're accountable. You go to sleep right now, you're accountable. Well, I'm never coming back here again, you're still accountable. You know the truth. Jesus Christ died for you, he rose for you, he's the only way to the Father, and you're accountable for knowing that.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today's lesson is titled, Beware. We'll be continuing this message again tomorrow, so join us then as well. In the meantime, if you'd like to catch up on earlier messages from our current series, The Greatest, go to bravemedia.online, where you'll be able to listen to all of Pastor Jeff's previous programs and find new opportunities to grow your community and your faith. And if you'd like a more convenient way to listen to these messages while you're maybe out on a walk or around the house, download the Brave Church app to your phone or smart device. The app gives you complete mobile access to all of Pastor Jeff's lessons and sermon notes, and no matter where you live, it offers you a personal opportunity to plug in with the Brave Church community. You can join a Bible study, sign up for special events, share prayer requests, and so much more. Just open the App Store on your mobile device, search for Brave Church Denver, and download the app today. And then before we close out today's program, just want to take a moment to invite you and your family to join us for worship this weekend at Brave Church. If you're in the Denver metro area, visit us in person at our campuses in Englewood and Westminster. And if you're listening from elsewhere, you can join us every weekend right from home through our live stream. Just go to bravemedia.online, then click the button near the bottom of our homepage that says Brave Church for details and directions. In the meantime, if you have a question for Pastor Jeff or maybe a comment you'd like to share how this ministry has impacted your life, we love hearing from you. You can email us hello@bravechurch.co. If you'd rather send a letter through the mail, our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. I'm Bill Carl. It's been such a blessing to be with you today. And we'll see you again tomorrow for the third part of today's important lesson from Hebrews, Beware. That's coming up next time, here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.